is Free Talk Live, and it's your show. You take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. Kicking off Hour 2, Tuesday edition. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Once again, that's 1-800-259-9231. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, where everything is totally free. Once again, freetalklive.com. So he was a general in the military as he retired, in the military for over three decades. Who is this guy, Mark, and why'd he leave?
His name's John Batiste. He left the military on principle on November the 1st, 2005, after more than 31 years of service. He says, "I walked away from promotion and a promising future serving our country. I hung up my uniform because I came to the gut-wrenching realization that I could do more good for my soldiers and their families out of uniform. I'm a West Point graduate and the son and son-in-law of veteran career soldiers. A two-time combat veteran with extensive service in Bosnia, Kosovo, and Iraq, and a lifelong Republican. Bottom line, our nation is in peril, our Department of Defense leadership is extraordinarily bad, and our Congress is only today, more than 5 years into this war, beginning to exercise its oversight responsibilities. This is all about accountability and setting our nation on the path to victory. There's no substitute for victory, and I believe we must complete what we started in Iraq and Afghanistan." I'm not sure.
Yikes.
I agree.
Don't know about that.
But he has some things to say about the administration that it seems to me bears reading. "Donald Rumsfeld is not a competent wartime leader. He knows everything except how to win. He surrounds himself with like-minded and compliant subordinates who do not grasp the importance of principles of war, the complexities of Iraq, or the human dimensions of warfare."
By the way, that's what we've heard over time now from different sources, that in bureaucracy, in government agencies, the most incompetent sycophants are the ones that rise to the top. You don't get to the top in the you don't get to leadership positions, if you will, in government if you are a contrarian. If you are somebody that's saying, "Mr. Rumsfeld, you know, I don't know if we should do that. And here's why." You're going to be going nowhere fast if you do that sort of thing. If you do say, "Brilliant idea, Mr. Rumsfeld, brilliant idea. You know what? I couldn't have said it better myself. I love it." If that's the kind of person you are, and if that's the kind of advice and suggestions you're making, you're going to be fine in government bureaucracy.
It's because results don't matter in government. Well, the only thing that matters
ego.
The only thing that matters is what you talk about, how great of an idea it is. Let's feed the poor. Let's bring democracy to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Secretary Rumsfeld ignored 12 years of U.S. Central Command deliberate planning and strategy, dismissed honest dissent, and browbeat subordinates to build his plan, which did not address the hard work to crush the insurgency, secure a post-Saddam Iraq, build the peace, and set Iraq up for self-reliance. He refused to acknowledge and even ignored the potential for insurgency, which was an absolute certainty. Bottom line, his plan allowed the insurgency to take root and metastasize to where it is today. Our great military lost a critical window of opportunity to secure Iraq because inadequate troop levels and capability required to impose security, crush a budding insurgency, and set the conditions for the new rule of law in Iraq. We were undermanned from the beginning, lost an early opportunity to secure the country, and have yet to regain the initiative. To compensate for the shortage of troops, commanders are routinely forced to manage shortages, shift coalition and Iraqi security forces from one contentious area to another in places like Baghdad and Najaf, Tal Afar, Samamar, Ramadi, Fallujah, and many others. This shifting of forces is generally successful in the short term, but the minute a mission is complete and troops are redeployed back to the region where they came from, insurgents reoccupy the vacuum, and the cycle repeats itself. Troops returning to the familiar territory find themselves fighting to reoccupy ground which was once secure. We are all witnessing this in Baghdad and the Al Anbar province today. I'm reminded of the myth of Sisyphus. That's the guy in
pushing a rock. Right?
Pushing the rock. Yeah, gets run over by the rock every day. This is no way to fight a counterinsurgency. Secretary Rumsfeld's plan did not set our military up for success. Yeah.
So he's done.
Yeah. So he's quit. And it's a shame that a lifelong Republican and, lifelong military man says that about our, Secretary of Defense.
I don't know if it's a shame. I think it's probably expected. from the military people we've talked to, that's sort of the impression that that I've gotten, at least, that the brass, if you will, sort of would like to do one thing, and the administration would like to do another, and there's an impasse as a result of it, and people are not the military brass are not happy, obviously. They're leaving at this point.
Well, clearly, you know,
maybe all of the guys like this with differing ideas are going to quit, and then some more sycophants can get promoted into general positions.
This is the problem with politicians running wars, and I think there should be civilian oversight on the military, but it just doesn't seem.
I think we don't need a military. A whole other issue, though. Go ahead.
That's a whole another issue. But the whole idea of the politicians fighting the war for political reasons. And to win political battles, it leaves these guys with their hands tied. They can't win.
Sure, and how are they going to feel?
That's what happened in Vietnam.
Right, and how do they feel? I mean, it really must be tough to try to be over there trying to do a particular job and not being able to do it in the way that you think is best, not being able to take the individual initiative and make the changes that you may need to keep your troops alive and to keep these boys and girls alive who are under your command. That's gotta be rough.
Yeah, it's gotta be a very difficult thing. So I feel for the guy, and you know, good luck in the civilian world.
800-259-9231. He is right. He will have more effect outside than he would on the inside. I want to get to a story here that's a little extended, but it's something that it's a pretty interesting look into the world of airport security and how excessive it can be. And how they overreact to some of the most innocuous of situations. This coming from a forum that is actually a World of Warcraft forum. Now, this is a game, massively multiplayer online role-playing game.
Mm-hmm.
And the title is, I Played World of Warcraft and Became a Terrorist. It says, it all started when I got out of my seat on an airplane to go to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom, washed my hands, returned to my seat. A little while later, the two stewardesses on the flight crossed each other in the aisle. They had a quick conversation that I was in earshot of. Here it is. I locked off the front lav. There's something in the toilet that's preventing it from flushing. Run some water and see if you can't clear it. My face immediately turned red. The seat cover, I thought, it must have been too big to flush. I should have thrown it out. I was so embarrassed, and I tried to act normal. I took a sudden interest in the contents of the seat pocket in front of me, acted nonchalant and all. I watched as a stewardess got on her hands and knees in the lavatory and did unfathomable dirty work. Sometime later, I decided it would be best if I forgot that the whole thing happened. So I went to put on my headphones and drown myself in my iPod music. But no iPod. I panicked, my other pockets. Where was it? It wasn't under the seat. Not in my pockets. Not anywhere. I looked up to the stewardesses. One of them had run past me at a decent clip. She was carrying a green handbook. She brought it to the other stewardess. They flipped through the handbook, read a page, and then made a call. The other stewardess had retrieved a blue metal box and was removing some equipment from it. I put two and two together and figured out what had happened. So I walked up to the stewardesses, both clamoring over the handbook, and tapped one on the shoulder. So I had an iPod before I went to the bathroom, and now I don't. I think I know what's in the toilet. We had a quick conversation, and I told them, look, you don't have to call the TSA or anything. It's just my iPod. You'd think that he could have headed it off. He was trying to head it off at the pass. He knew what it was. He knew what the problem was. But unfortunately, they had already called the TSA.
Oh, no.
So now I'm starting to realize that this is turning into a big problem. They offer their condolences, tell me that it's unfortunate, and I take a seat.
Enjoy yourself in some terrible prison off in some hinterland, Transylvania prison, getting tortured by Transylvanians in the name of the CIA.
So, not so bad so far. So I return to my seat and spend the rest of the flight trying to act normal. That is, right until the pilot comes over the intercom.
Folks, this is the captain. I don't want to alarm you, but we found a suspicious device in the front lavatory. Now, we think it's probably nothing, but in this day and age, you can never be too careful. We'll be landing at Ottawa, and there will be where we will then await further instructions. The cabin erupted with commotion. At that very moment, my face fell into my hands. What have I done? Well, we'll find out what he's done, because then he's going to be interviewed by government bureaucrats, and it is just an amazing story that will continue in moments. 800-259-9231. Your airplane hell stories, if you've got them, or whatever's on your mind. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live.
It's a combination of the best that public broadcasting has to offer
and NFL football.
We should pass a law mandating a cooling-off period after the next 9/11 type attack. We know we're going to get hit again, and we know we're going to freak out and pass Patriot Act 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then we're going to feel bad that we acted in the heat of the moment.
Beating the ideas into the turf until something breaks. Common Sense with Dan Carlin.
Get the MP3 or podcast at iTunes or go to dancarlin.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. Today is September 26, 2006. Gold opened at $586.70. 1 ounce gold coins can be purchased for $618.72. Again, that's $618.72 to purchase 1 ounce gold coins. With a slow economy, real estate prices dropping, war on terrorism, the economical climate in the United States is questionable. U.S. citizens work a third of their life just to cover tax liabilities. Bankruptcies continue to weaken our financial institutions. Midas is offering the 2007 Red Book, a guide for U.S. gold and silver coins. Many of you are considering getting involved, but before you purchase precious metals, pick up a copy for reference at 1-800-686-2237. Or to evaluate the position you have already accumulated, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hey, Bill, I'm buying lunch today. And check this out. I bought a new car.
Wow, John, I guess you took my advice and visited that website we were talking about over lunch last time we met. www.didyourobbillgates.com.
I did, and you were right. I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. And it's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my fifth week.
Whoa, that's awesome. John, your business will keep growing as mine has. In fact, people are joining from all over the world. It's incredible.
Everyone should go to www.didyourobbillgates.com and learn how this program can help them become financially independent, too. Thanks a million, Bill, for telling me about www.didyourobbillgates.com.
Check, please.
I got this one, Bill.
Sure, John. Let's tell everyone about www.didyourobbillgates.com.
Deal. Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show, Tuesday edition. Ian here with you. And Mark, toll-free number, 800-259-9231. You bring up whatever's on your mind. 800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, where everything is totally free, including the listener map. Go to map.freetalklive.com, and you can add yourself to it if you've yet to do that. Over 1,500 of our listeners are on the Free Talk Live listener map. International listeners, people from all around the world. It's neat. You can see where they, you can see where they're at. You can zoom in and out and scroll around and find out who some of our listeners are and where they're at. Map.freetalklive.com. Again, that's free. Map.freetalklive.com. Like everything is on our website. We've got a story about a young man who was on an airplane, and he was playing his, I guess, video game on his computer, took a break, went into the bathroom, came back out, realized later that he had dropped his iPod in the toilet.
Oh, my.
In the bathroom, was preventing the toilet from fully flushing or whatever, and they, the stewardesses had fished it out. And we're going to continue the story here in a moment, but I'm going to go to the phones first, because we've got Mike on the line in Illinois on the Amplifier line. Mike, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hey, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
I just had a quick story to share with you guys that I find amusing but sad at the same time about the country, government agencies contradicting themselves.
Okay.
Apparently, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has filed a lawsuit against ExxonMobil, saying that it forces their corporate pilots to quit flying at age 60. Apparently, they have some corporate rule that their corporate pilots obviously can't fly past age 60. However, airline pilots under the Department of Transportation, FAA, have a specific rule that says pilots, airline pilots can't fly past age 60.
So they're telling a company that they can't tell pilots that they can't fly past age 60, but the FAA tells pilots that they can't fly past age 60?
But the FAA tells airline pilots that they can't fly past age 60.
So the government is suing ExxonMobil's pilots because they're suing ExxonMobil because they want to get money out of them, even though they're following the law.
Pretty much. I think what they would look at it, though, is because the FAA, when you're talking about airline pilots themselves, like who fly for air carriers,
mm-hmm.
that's who the FAA rule applies to. However, my point is that this other federal agency is telling this private company that they can't set their own rule. That's how I look at this.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they're doing, which isn't a shock. I mean, there's plenty of federal government agencies that say you can't set your own rules. We're going to set the rules for you. This is just another one. But now there's a lawsuit involved. And if the feds win, then the company will be forced to retire its pilots at 60. I'm a little confused. Was the company forcing pilots to retire at 60, or
right?
That was what was happening, and that's why the government's
right.
stepping in.
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently, ExxonMobil Corporation has within their own company something for their pilots. They say they have to quit flying at age 60. Their corporate jet.
So the government, if it wins, is going to essentially say you have to allow pilots to fly beyond the age of 60.
And the next step I was going to take is I am an airline pilot, and
mm-hmm.
I want to know if they win this lawsuit, I want to know if I can sue the government when I turn past 60, and they're not going to let me fly.
Yeah, that's a good question.
It would seem like it to me.
And also, does that mean that they're also going to be forcing Exxon to make these people continue to have jobs? I mean, because couldn't you just get fired? I mean, look, see you later. You're 60. We're firing you. Are they going to say you have to continue employing these people?
Who knows?
Because that would seem to be the logical extension, right? I mean, if the government wins, then that means that this company must allow pilots to fly past the age of 60. But what if the company wants to say, well, if you get to 60, you're fired. Or if you get to 60, we're retiring you. But no, the government's going to force us to keep you on the payroll? What? Let us know what happens with this, Mike.
Yeah,
thanks for the update. We really appreciate hearing from you, sir.
Maybe they can have him work in the tower or something.
1-800-259-9231. It's just a strange case, and I'm sure he'll keep us up to date since he is a pilot and everything. More airline stories. Bill in Montana, listening on KGEZ or on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
How you guys doing?
Hey, Bill. What's on your mind?
Well, I just thought I would tell you guys a funny story. True story. We flew out of Seattle to Hawaii, my wife and I and a buddy and his wife, and we got to Hawaii. They had gone to made my buddy give up his fingernail file set. You know, he had a manicure set. They made
right.
him give that up. It was out of his shaving bag. We get to Hawaii in the hotel room. I think we were there a couple days when he's like, "Oh my God!" And he starts pulling out these 9mm bullets. I mean, we live in Montana, so you know, bullets
sure.
end up in strange places. And so he pulls out 10 of these 9mm bullets. They never found them.
Amazing.
And we left them in Hawaii, of course, because
Sure.
We didn't want to get...
No point in risking it over a few bullets, that's for sure.
Exactly.
It's typical. Exactly. I mean, these guys can't find squat. They've been tested. The government agencies themselves have tested themselves,
right.
And they can't
find anything.
They
found his fingernail file, and they found his shampoo, but they missed the 9mm bullets.
Exactly.
God. Thanks for the call, Bill. We appreciate hearing from you, man. 800-259-9231.
Over and over again.
They are totally useless.
You know... I got a funny email yesterday that said, if you want your to make sure that your luggage doesn't get lost in transition,
mm-hmm.
Pack a gun in your luggage and then tell them that you packed a gun in there. They'll keep extra special, an extra good watch on it.
Right. Well, let's continue the story with this young man who was on the airplane, lost his iPod in the toilet. He let the stewardesses know, and they told him, well, we're sorry, we've already called the TSA. So the flight lands in Ottawa, Canada, early. Because that's not where they were going. They taxied to the gate. Without warning, the airplane lurched to a sudden halt. Folks, this is a captain. We've been ordered to make an immediate stop. Buses are coming to evacuate the aircraft.
Good Lord.
We were to leave all of our belongings on the aircraft. We would then be shuttled by bus to the terminal. Where would we receive our carry-on items? My face fell deeper into my hands. Next came the waiting. Waiting and listening to more worry and commotion. A lot of us wondered if we could bring cell phones, wallets, passports, or customs forms with us.
I'd say anything that fits in your pockets, I'd take.
The stewardesses didn't have any answers. They'd never been through this before. On the one hand, if I brought a cell phone...
Now, they were in Ottawa. What's the TSA doing in Ottawa?
I guess it's like the...
Canadian TSA?
I don't know. Canadian version or something?
Okay.
Maybe there are TSA agents in Canada. I don't know how that all works. If you know, 800-259-9231. Anyway, on the one hand, if I brought a cell phone, wallet, etc., and they confiscated it, then I would have to hunt and peck for it separately from my carry-on luggage. But if I stuck all that stuff in my carry-on luggage, I would only have to find one bag when we clamored for our stuff in the future. I decided the smart thing to do was to stick everything in my carry-on, but I kept my wallet because I knew I was in big trouble at that point. It took them 45 minutes to round up not just a bus and air stairs, but an army of police and customs vehicles. One of the stewardesses took me aside and whispered to me, "Get off the plane fast and talk to the constable." So I did. I exited the plane last and spoke to the Ottawa police officer waiting at the air stairs. I told him that the device was my iPod, and he took down my license number. I continued to the bus. After a brief wait, it did not take us to the terminal. It took us to some industrial facility where they housed utility vehicles. There in the open garage, we were instructed to sit and wait. And wait we did. Another 30 minutes or so. This was possibly the worst part. While we were waiting, I got to overhear the passengers talking about me. They didn't know it was me, of course, but they knew somebody had dropped an iPod in the toilet, and they made all kinds of assumptions about this person. We'll continue the story. 800-259-9231. What happens when you drop an iPod in an airplane toilet? This is Free Talk Live.
According to the American Diabetes Association, more than 18 million people in the U.S. have diabetes. Most people with diabetes have risk factors such as obesity, high blood pressure, and cholesterol, which increase their risk for heart disease. For example, more than 65% of people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. Finding out you or your loved ones have diabetes can be scary. This is why, as your trusted online partner in health, we are committed to bringing you products that help you make informed decisions about your health. At researchherbs.com, you can learn more about GlucoCare, a highly effective and safe natural herbal supplement formulated specifically to help maintain optimal blood sugar levels. As with all products featured on researchherbs.com, GlucoCare is the result of several years of rigorous development and is backed by numerous clinical trials and experimental studies. Visit us online at researchherbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 to learn more. That's 1-800-845-3841.
If you're tired of spending a small fortune every time you fill up, now you can do something about it. Ethos FR, a product used all over the world, has reported savings of up to 19% on gas and even reduced emissions of up to 30%. Ethos FR is easy to use and works with any kind of fuel, including gasoline, diesel, and ethanol. Ethos FR works by reformulating the gas in your tank to burn more completely, resulting in a cleaner engine, better mileage, more power, and fewer emissions. So visit ctsafegas.com and start saving today. That's ctsafegas.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding the bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Hello, this is Amy Bjorklund. Thanks to a quantum leap in garlic research, the health benefits of 20 fresh garlic cloves are now available in one tiny capsule. With stabilized allicin, the proven power of garlic has been transformed into what is perhaps the most important medicinal product ever developed. And there's no odor. Stabilized allicin gives you and your family a safe, natural weapon that kills harmful bacteria, viruses, and funguses, all without harming the friendly bacteria in the digestive tract. This means strong immunity, fewer and shorter colds, and the best possible protection from deadly diseases, none of which prescription drugs can offer. What's more, this product can deter mosquitoes from biting you and safely keep fleas and ticks off your pets. Visit truthandexcellence.com, click the Truth and Excellence banner on GCNlive.com, or call me, Amy Bjorklund, personally at 805-595-2711. 805-595-2711.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live, and it's your show. You take control of the airwaves. Be the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. Again, 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Join us on our website at freetalklive.com, where everything is totally free. Live streams included. There's a broadband version of the show and a dial-up version. Both of them are for you for free. freetalklive.com. Plus, Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project's First 1,000 Pledge. Are you just going to talk about freedom, or are you going to start living it now? Learn how the First 1,000 Pledge can make it happen today at freestateproject.org. Again, that's freestateproject.org. Talking about a story from World of Warcraft. It is this game, that's a forum that I'm getting the story from. It's a game that's it's an online, massively multiplayer online role-playing game or whatever. And apparently one of the guys who plays the game was taking an airplane trip, playing the game. He went to the bathroom, accidentally dropped his iPod in the toilet, told the stewardess after the fact, because he wasn't sure, it took him a little while to figure out that he'd lost it, told the stewardess after the fact. She said, whoops, we've already told the TSA. Plane lands in Ottawa, Canada, in order for, I guess, the plane to be checked out, because they were concerned that this iPod might have been some sort of a device of some sort, like a detonator, who knows what they thought it was.
There's some device blocking the toilet.
Anyway, they loaded them off the bus. They took them to some sort of industrial facility, as he describes it, where they housed utility vehicles, and forced them to wait after they'd already waited 45 minutes just to get the air stairs out to the plane, 30 minutes more waiting in this particular facility. And then he says while he was sitting there, he got to overhear passengers talking about him. They didn't know it was him. They were just talking about whoever it was that dropped the thing in the toilet.
If this was a bomb in this airplane, whoever it was could have detonated the bomb in that waiting period.
Sure they could have. Well, why didn't he have it on a clip? He could have clipped it to his damn pants. Or why didn't he tell the stewardesses? Why is he hiding it from them and making us go through this? He says, I could have corrected them. I could have told them that it was on a clip and that I did tell the stewardesses. In fact, it was a lot of self-restraint just to keep my mouth shut and not make things worse. By this time, the sense of guilt had left me. This wasn't my fault. Anyone could have dropped his iPod in the toilet.
Yeah.
Really, it's the government here. I mean, at this point, the building contains 6 customs officials, an army of policemen, people from various security agencies, a bomb squad, and a couple of detectives. No one was doing anything. No one was taking charge. I didn't create this mess. The whole time, the officers were watching me. They had told me to keep in sight of them at all times. Finally, five or six customs officers set up a table and made an announcement. We will be interviewing each of you one by one.
Oh,
please form a line. Before we have our chat, make sure you have your identification, passport, and customs information with you. One person asked, well, what if that stuff is still on the plane? Customs official responded, then we'll have a more formal chat.
Oh my God.
I got in line with the rest of the people, but shortly thereafter, two police officers took me out of line. Come with us. They took me to a discreet corner. They brought out a tape recorder. I was told to put my hands up on the wall and spread my legs, and I was frisked from head to toe. They removed my wallet, disassembled it completely, and placed its contents in its own plastic evidence bag, each of the wallet's contents. Now, Tim, for the sake of the tape recorder, I want you to state your full name and address, which I did. Now, each of us will take our name and position into the tape recorder. There were two detectives from the police department, a detective from customs, and two members of the bomb squad. Then started the questions. They were easy at first. They asked me where I lived. What do I do for a living? Why am I unemployed? How come it's taken me 4 months to find a job? They asked me why I was visiting Canada. I went to visit a friend that I met on World of Warcraft, Kara. They took down her name and what I could remember of her address. They asked me how we met. In an online game. What online game? World of Warcraft, I responded meekly. What kind of game is this? It's a fantasy game. It takes place online. Fantasy? It's got wizards and warlocks? Well, it's got warlocks. They asked me to describe my relation to Kara. I told them that people meet up in the game and they go on adventures together, and that Kara and I were in a guild together that I was the leader of. They confused the concept of a guild with the game, however, and I had them believing that I was the lord and leader of all of World of Warcraft until I was able to correct them and explain to them what a guild was. So, when they put the pieces together, namely that I was visiting a female person that I'd met over a computer game, their next line of questioning went down an obvious path. So, you and Kara are friends? Yes. How long have you known her? About 5 months, I think, maybe less. Do you have a romantic relationship with Kara? No. Do you want a romantic relationship with Kara? No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you and Kara were drunk together, and she turned to you and said, Tim, let's go, I interrupted him. Excuse me, what's the point of these questions? The detective hardened. Let me make things clear. I ask questions, you answer them.
You're in big trouble here, son.
Do we have an understanding? Yes, I paused. I just don't see how this is relevant. He spoke right in my face. I've got five good men going into that airplane right now.
To retrieve that iPod.
Five of my best bomb squad guys. If there's any reason I should be concerned for their life, then I need to know now. So just answer the questions and do as I say. Now, the questions became really pointed. What do you think about 9/11? What are your views on the Iran issue? Do you think government is too big, too powerful?
Oh my God.
Would you ever make a point? He asked me if I knew how to make a bomb. I have a degree in physics, and I'm not an idiot. Of course I knew how to make a bomb. What kind of question is that? The better question is, would I make a bomb? And the answer is no. They tried to trap me with some of their other questions. I noticed that they would try to get me to contradict myself, like I'd earlier mentioned that I'd never met Kara in real life. So they would later nonchalantly ask me when I had last seen Kara. Stuff like that. This is typical police behavior. They do these sorts of things.
It's good police work.
He told me there was a similar bomb scare in Los Angeles today. He asked me if I was connected with it, and he asked me if I was connected to the liquid thing from Britain. Finally, he was done. He and the two bomb squad guys left. The customs lady followed up with more prying personal questions. She asked me more about Kara, how I got to know her, how we interact, etc. The interviewers would periodically withdraw to talk about me in French. Then they would return with follow-up questions. I was picked apart by these questions. They wanted to know how I could pay for my ticket being unemployed, and what my motivations for visiting Kara were. They had me
I'm
on the
curious on that too.
They had me on the defensive the entire time. She'd finished her interview, and then I was returned to the garage where they were questioning everyone else on the plane, one by one. I waited for another hour or so as the bomb squad did their thing, I assume. Eventually, they loaded everyone up on the bus to take them to retrieve their stuff. Except for me. I and two others were to be inspected by customs. Apparently, the inspections just haven't been enough at this point. An entire body pat-down, an interview.
You know, they have the guy that is responsible for the flushing of the iPod. What do they need to inspect these other two people for?
I don't know. They're suspicious, maybe. They took my photo and asked me to wait in the cold for 30 minutes. Then they escorted me to a red van. Along the way, I passed the detective who had first interviewed me. He was carrying a green paper bag, and he called me over. I just got it back from the bomb squad. It's an iPod. Do you want it back? Well, it's been in the toilet. Yeah, it's messy. Then he walked right up to my ear. Tim, you're not in trouble anymore. Nothing you say now is going to be on the record. I want you to answer a question honestly. Honestly. Just for me, not for my agency. Okay? He whispered in my ear, did you take a dump and then drop your iPod in the toilet on accident? No, I yelled a little too loudly. Like I said, I didn't notice it was missing until afterwards. Okay, okay, I believe you. You did great, Tim. I got my wallet back and was escorted by the police to the van. I waited some more on this van, and then finally it took me to a harmless immigration office. I waited some more there, the whole time being watched and followed by police officers. Finally, they escorted me to the baggage claim to fetch my stuff and took me to a very private room with some bomb screening equipment and tinted mirrors for windows. It was me and a gruff, humorless customs official. He unpacked my luggage entirely, ran the contents of my wallet through a bomb sweep, then carefully examined all of my belongings. He then asked me to turn on my laptop. I did, and he began using it. I saw him open Spotlight and begin searching. Do you connect to the internet on this laptop? Yes. Have you downloaded images? What do you mean? Do you have any pornography? No. I mean, can you believe how bizarre this is? Like, this all started over an iPod being dropped in the toilet, and now they're asking him about porn? I waited in total silence for about 10 minutes as he kept searching and searching, until I finally asked him, what are you looking for? Contraband, he said without looking up at me, such as? Child pornography? Hate propaganda? Well, child porn I can understand, that's illegal, but hate propaganda is protected speech. Now he looked up. What country do you think you're in? Oh, it's illegal in Canada? I honestly don't know, but that doesn't matter. I get to decide what goes in this country. Do you have a problem with that? More on the way. Your show, 800-259-9231. This Odyssey at the airport. It is Free Talk Live.
Do you need money to help pay for health care costs or to supplement your retirement income? Are you 65 years of age or older and own a life insurance policy with a death benefit of $250,000 or more that's getting too expensive or no longer needed? Are you considering canceling or surrendering your life insurance policy for its cash value? Hermosa Group can evaluate your policy to see if you qualify for a life settlement. A life settlement can generate more money than the surrender value, and you can receive a lump sum payment within 45 days. Having your policy evaluated by Hermosa Group is free, easy, and carries no obligation. All policies qualify. Sell your life insurance policy for a large cash settlement today. Call 888-590-8705. That's 888-590-8705 to find out how much your policy is worth. Enjoy the benefits of a life settlement from Hermosa Group. Call 888-590-8705. That's 888-590-8705.
Surely you've heard that ignorance of the law is no excuse. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. So what's the excuse for your representatives in Congress? Their ignorance is even worse. They don't even read many of the laws they pass. At DownsizeDC.org, we're proposing a simple but powerful idea, the Read the Bills Act, to force Congress to read the laws they pass. Why? Because we believe the federal government is way too big. Visit DownsizeDC.org because ignorance is no excuse, even for a congressman.
Would you like to get involved with pro-liberty causes but just can't find the time? Let us spread the word about freedom for you. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier now for just $3 a month, and you'll help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations and more MP3 players. That means more new people coming across the message of freedom every day. Other pro-liberty organizations just seem to gobble up contributions and make very little progress. AMP actually works. For all the details, visit amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Roadside crises are never fun. But short of the cavalry coming to the rescue, there are two simple procedures you can learn before you're stranded that may protect your car and your life when we come back. I'm Bobby Likas, and I've discovered a fountain of youth for cars. One reason our cars get old before their time is the same thing that keeps them going, fuel.
The carbon deposits left by fuel burned in your engine can choke off its air and fuel mixture, reducing efficiency. The BG Fuel Service removes harmful carbon buildup, dramatically improves power and mileage, and includes BG44K to treat the entire fuel system. To learn more, go to BGFindTheShop.com. BG.
Many emergencies are eased by knowing two things: how to change flat tires and jump dead batteries. Learn to change tires in your driveway during daylight. Know your jack and how to loosen lug nuts on your wheels, which may require a special tool. Likewise, jumping a battery isn't hard, unless you wait to learn how when you're late for ball games or piano recitals. Keep jumper cables in your trunk and know how to use them. Don't let a crisis be your classroom. A little practice goes a long way. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to RoyalPurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and RoyalPurple.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control toll-free, 800-259-9231. Again, 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, where everything is totally free. And if you like that, well, then maybe you should shop with us. We've got some Free Talk Live stuff available for you. Just go to store.freetalklive.com. You'll find Free Talk Live hats and T-shirts, classic archives on DVDs. We've got a bunch of stuff there for you. And it is all there at your fingertips at store.freetalklive.com. Place your order today, store.freetalklive.com. So we're talking about the story from a young man who plays a game online called World of Warcraft. And he was on an airplane ride. He didn't think that anything was really going to happen. He accidentally dropped his iPod into the toilet, found out later on, and told the stewardesses, look, that's my iPod. Well, we've already called the TSA. They weren't sure what it was. They weren't sure if it was, you know, there was an iPod in the toilet. That's odd for them. So they were concerned. And
they didn't even know it was an iPod at that time, did they?
I guess not.
It was just an item.
Yeah, item in the toilet. So then they landed the plane early and at Ottawa, Canada. I guess he was going to visit someone in Canada. He was then taken aside by the authorities. The authorities were just taking forever to do things, processing people, interviewing other people besides him, even though he admitted that it was his iPod. They took him aside and asked him all sorts of invasive questions about why he was in Canada, where he works, why he's unemployed, how long he's been unemployed. Just a cavalcade of questions for this guy. And finally, they've taken him to an immigration office with a humorless customs official, as he describes him, a gruff, humorless customs official. And the customs guy starts going through his laptop, searching his laptop, even though the issue was something in the toilet, and that issue had been resolved at this point.
Right.
These guys just want to find something. They want to find something to bring him up on charges with. And so this customs official's going through his laptop, asking him if he's got pornography, like child porn, or hate propaganda. And when he questioned the hate propaganda thing, the bureaucrat said, well, it's not illegal, but that doesn't matter. I get to decide what goes in this country. Do you have a problem with that? I paused for a long time while I thought about what I should say to this. Yes. Yes, you do have a problem? Well, yes, I do. If it's illegal in Canada, I'll understand. But saying, I don't want it in my country isn't good enough when you're a government official. Now he was pissed.
I bet he was.
Don't fool around with me. I'm sure you want this to end as much as I do. So, I'll ask you questions and you will answer. Do you understand? Long pause while I thought. Yes, I do. He continued his exhaustive audit of my computer's contents, then returned it to me. We waited for a customs escort who showed me out of the room and back to the terminal. There they left me without saying a word, and I was free to go. And at that point, his story ends.
Does he take back off on the flight?
I presume that's what happened here. I'm not really sure what the rest of the story is.
But,
wow.
So now he's sitting with a... with a crappy iPod in his pocket.
Yeah, exactly. But he's not the only one.
Stinking iPod in his pocket.
He's not the only one with an airplane story. One of our listeners, Kingston, writes in saying, I thought you might find this interesting. I traveled from Chicago to Newark on business today and had such a memorable experience that I wanted to share it with United Customer Service. A lot of the ideas came from listening to your show. Keep up the great work. I'll let you know if I get a response to the comment. So this is a letter he wrote to United Airlines Customer Service Department. You guys have got to do, dear United Customer Service, you guys have got to do something to get the TSA under control. This new orange security is making it absolutely unbearable to travel on your airline. What follows is an account of how one of your contracted business travel customers was treated by this invasive government bureaucracy. The bureaucracy that I'm forced to interact with if I want to travel on your airline. Here's what happened to me at O'Hare Terminal at 1 o'clock this morning. I arrived at the airport an hour and a half before my flight for an overnight trip, because I need extra time to check my bag. I have the unfortunate preference of traveling with dangerous chemicals like shaving cream and toothpaste that I understand terrorists can now use to bring down commercial aircraft. After checking in, I follow the herd of the airport into the airport security line and go through the usual drill. I take off my shoes to prove that I'm not a shoe bomber. I take my laptop out of my bag for who knows what reason. I walk through the metal detector with the rest of the livestock. On the other side of the metal detector, a nice enough looking member of our crack TSA security agency tells me that my briefcase needs a secondary screening. He wipes a little swab over it, then proceeds to remove every single item from the briefcase. He starts pulling out things that I haven't seen for years. It was the strip search of briefcase screenings, a thorough inspection of every nook and crevice. He even reached inside a small tear in the briefcase lining to make sure I didn't have any instruments of terror stashed inside the lining. In the course of his inspection, he uncovers a long-forgotten plastic corkscrew.
Dear God.
In the deepest reaches of one of my pockets of my briefcase. He holds it up and tests the point of the plastic screw with the tip of his finger.
His finger is an official government testing unit. Now I know.
He gives me a look that I've seen before when attempting to smuggle dangerous items like a fingernail file through airport security. The look is the one that TSA agents give you right before they say, I'm going to have to take this, sir. In a preemptive attempt, I snapped at him. In what I'll admit was not a pleasant tone. You can't take that. It's plastic. The guy who sold it to me said it was airport friendly. Apparently, that was more than he could stand.
He didn't like that, huh?
He started yelling at me. Don't disrespect me! Don't disrespect me! Do you want to be disrespected? He yelled at me ironically. At that point, I just shut up and stared at him. I have a meeting in New Jersey at 11 o'clock. I can't afford to miss my flight. How often do you fly? How often do you fly? He repeated. How often do you fly? He yelled at me several more times. I said nothing and just stared at him in all of his violent, authoritarian glory. I don't fly as much as I used to, but I fly enough to know that you can't win an argument with a TSA agent. In order to do what they do every day, it's obvious that they lack the capacity to reason. They also have guns. After the TSA agent realized I was not going to rise to the bait and argue with him, he turned his back to me and held the intimidating plastic corkscrew up in the air. Mary, is this okay? He asked what I can only assume was some sort of TSA goon squad captain or something. Mary gave him the nod. Turns out the plastic corkscrew was not the imminent threat to airline security that my TSA agent had originally thought. He turned back around, looked at me, and said, I'm going to have to run these through the X-ray again. He pulled out a few more suspicious items in my bag, the plastic corkscrew, laser pointer, and an empty orange juice bottle, and ran them through the machine again. Thankfully, the juice bottle was empty, or certainly it would have been confiscated as a potentially lethal terrorist weapon. Again, I understand that terrorists have learned how to turn 12 ounces of orange juice into an explosive device capable of bringing down commercial aircraft. After a couple minutes of X-ray screening, he sauntered over to return my things to me and haphazardly jammed them back into the briefcase. Feeling a little remorseful about my earlier snap at the highly skilled security professional, I said, I want to apologize, sir. It's not you. It's just that I'm deeply offended by the invasiveness of this whole screening process. Which really was awfully nice of him to do.
It does sound like it to me.
Well, here's what the bureaucrat said. Then don't fly! He sneered at me in an angry voice. Well, maybe I won't, TSA goon. Maybe I won't. As long as I have to completely sacrifice my freedom, privacy, and dignity in order to board a commercial aircraft, you can rest assured that I'll do everything in my power to avoid doing so. That is, flying. If enough of us take my friendly TSA agent's advice and don't fly, the TSA agents will be able to get back to chasing teenagers around the local shopping mall. And,
oh, my.
And United will be out of business. Best regards from Kingston. So it'll be interesting to see what United's response to his letter is.
Well, their hands are tied, Ian. They couldn't do anything. This is the government. The government that they chose to take handouts from and, you know, chose to get in bed with. But
and chose to go along with everything the government tells them to do.
Yeah.
They could put up a fight. They could make it stand up for their customers and say, enough is enough. You've taken people's toothpaste and lipstick and orange juice and bottled water. Stop it. Leave our customers alone. Look, we'll handle the security. It's our airline, okay? We'll just take the reins from you, all right? No, we don't need you anymore, TSA. Goodbye. You can go take care of some of the other airlines. We don't want you. They could put up a fight, but as you pointed out, Mark, they're slaves to the state, too. And they've been paid off big time.
Big time.
More than once. There's been more than one airline bailout in the past. The most recent one was the one after September 11, 2001, but there were some other ones in the past, as I recall.
Yeah, well, they're needed. Of course, there would be no airplanes if it wasn't for the government bailouts of the airlines. God knows, airlines like Southwest wouldn't have sprung up.
And what would happen? I mean, what if people do stop flying to the point where the airlines are really hurting? Are they going to ask for another bailout? And if so, how many bailouts are they going to be able to get? I mean, are we going to just keep handing out bailouts to keep these airlines in business so a few people can fly from place to place? Look, I'm not saying that we need to get rid of air travel at all. I'm just wondering what will happen as passengers continue to attrition off of air travel.
And they will. As it gets harder and harder to fly, I mean, there's going to be people that don't want to do it. If the rules go to the point where we all have to be buck naked in order to fly, there's going to be people that say, I just don't want to do it. Thanks.
1-800-259-9231. A lawsuit against Grand Theft Auto again. We're going to come back with more. You take control of the airwaves. Hour 3 is on the way. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Over the years, Genesis Communications Network has grown by leaps and bounds, reaching millions of listeners. The impact on political and social issues have been enormous. Businesses associated with the network have grown to become valuable enterprises. If you are accredited and have an entrepreneurial spirit, national radio may be the opportunity you're looking for. Call me today at 877-996-4327, extension 101. For more information, that's 877-996-4327, extension 101.